Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Rebecca Green.
And I'm Ben Clemmer. You hear his voice on Morning Edition on 89.1. You hear his work reporting during WBOI newscasts. And now he joins us on WBOI Presents. Zach Bernard, welcome to WBOI Presents.
Always a pleasure to be here, Ben.
We're now less than 3 months removed from the Parkland shooting. You've covered some of the local responses, some of the anti-gun violence marches that we've had in different events. Has the momentum of the gun debate already faded?
It's easy to want to say yes to that because the national coverage has certainly shifted in other directions. And the fact is, you know, it was 3 months ago. And the unfortunate reality is, at least in the news cycle, is that, you know, time does continue to march onward. And so it has gotten much less of that attention. But that being said, I think the conversations are still happening. And I think the challenge now for a lot of individuals who are so passionate about this is to keep that conversation elevated, because, you know, just because the national news conversation has shifted doesn't mean that this one necessarily has to. And so, you know, throughout the month of April, we saw a couple of things, one of them being an information session that was held at IPFW about writing letters to congressmen, you know, and just general information. Another one being the April 20th rally that took place once again at the Allen County Courthouse. And that's the third rally that we've had in 3 months, which is to say that at least in Allen County, the conversation hasn't necessarily died out, regardless of where the national focus seems to be.
Staying with the topic of community violence, Fort Wayne United is trying to address the impact of homicides on Black communities. How are they doing that?
Earlier in the month of April, they held a open forum, and it was at the University of St. Francis. And the goal was to have any stakeholder that you can imagine during the conversation to talk about homicides in Northeast Indiana, not just how they affect individuals, but how they affect the community at large. So, you know, someone might be inclined to say, you know, oh, you know, the southwest side of Fort Wayne has a homicide problem. Well, the response to that is, this is a problem that affects everybody. And that's what that open forum tried to achieve. And it was an interesting kind of panel. I cover a lot of forums and things like that, but it was done in segments. So they would have clergy speak first in the faith community and talk about how homicide affects them, and then the government aspect of it. And the one that really spoke to me as a reporter was the personal. You know, a couple of individuals who were involved in situations that pertain to homicide. And one of the individuals who spoke was Tony Moore. He's listed as one of Fort Wayne United's emerging leaders. And he had this to say about his experience.
The stress of having to constantly prove yourself at every turn is mind-numbing. I mean, every turn. From when the police pulls you over, you just have to be conscious. Make sure your hands are on the steering wheel. It's just things you will have to always go through your mind. And you can never forget that you're a Black man.
So those are the kind of perspectives that are coming out in these meetings. And it seems like Fort Wayne United is leaning into having more of these sorts of information sessions, because they certainly have over the last 2 years that they've been active. And it'll be interesting to see if they continue to hold events like that. But another thing I just want to mention before we move on the topic of homicide, earlier in the month, very close to that date, Lanny Jones and Fred Teague are two parents of a young man named Fred Jones, who was the victim of a homicide back in 2008, I believe. And they came back to Fort Wayne for the first time in 10 years, making a plea to the community once again, because we still don't know who the shooter is.
Someone knows something. They saw something. We're asking, we're pleading, someone please do the right thing. Please give justice for Fred. Frederick deserves this.
That all kind of culminates to say, this is a problem in Fort Wayne, and it's something that is, you know, not only affecting us now, but is still affecting people who've been affected by it in the past.
I'll preface the next part of our conversation simply by saying those who don't remember history are doomed to repeat it. That's a good lead-in for Martin Goldsmith's talk. What was it like, and is he hopeful that the Holocaust will not be forgotten?
Well, the first thing about Martin Goldsmith is that he's such a captivating and compelling speaker. He's one of those presences where there's no spotlight in the room, but you feel like there is one anyway. He has a lot of important and thoughtful things to say. And so it was really valuable for him to be in Northeast Indiana for Holocaust Remembrance Day observation, which in Fort Wayne at least took place on April 16th. Martin Goldsmith in particular met with students at New Tech Academy at Wayne High School to talk about his experiences, which were laid out in the two books that he wrote, which largely focus on how his parents were musicians in an orchestra during Nazi Germany and as Jewish individuals, and their status as entertainers for Jewish individuals as Jews, sort of, as he says, protected them because they were sort of flipped as a propaganda tool for Joseph Goebbels to say, hey, look, you know, we treat these people just fine. And it was really interesting perspective to hear firsthand. But as far as how, you know, as far as history repeating itself, just a couple days before he came, there was a survey that came out noting that 2/3 of millennials can't identify what Auschwitz is and half have difficulty identifying the Holocaust. He had this to say about that.
For kids today or adults today to be unaware of that, I think just makes another such terrible incident a bit more possible in the present and the future.
So Martin Goldsmith coming to Fort Wayne is certainly an effort to bring more awareness towards that and try to help, you know, those numbers improve a little bit. And that's something that New Tech and Wayne High School seem very committed to as well, to involve the students throughout the observation with the Fort Wayne Jewish Federation.
New IPFW Chancellor Ron Elzenbaumer held Commitment Day over the weekend. You got to speak with him about that. Tell us more.
Yes, Chancellor Commitment Day was held on Sunday, April 29th, and the primary goal is for prospective parents and students to be able to get FaceTime with the new Chancellor, Ron Elzenbaumer, who's about 6 months into the job. I think he officially began on November 1st, and one of the important things that came to mind is that there is a very big transition happening over there right now. IPFW will be PFW beginning in July. There have been a lot of other conversations about consolidation of programs and things like that. So Chancellor Elzenbaumer told me that the purpose of the commitment day was to answer some of those questions because he knew that they would happen. One of the concerns that students have approached me with is a concern that the university is going to start putting more attention towards STEM programs while shifting a focus away from liberal arts. And so I asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
I would say the best thing to do is talk to the students that are already here, and they will tell you that there are so many options in our campus for a liberal arts degree.
Now, since the concerns are coming from current students, it's hard to imagine how speaking with current students might be helpful, but nonetheless, there was a lot of optimism for the event on Sunday, and it is very clear that Purdue University, as it will be known, is trying to remove a little bit of red tape that existed between students, prospective students, and the administration, and that's sort of why an event like Sunday's took place.
Zach Bernard, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ben.
Cote Godoy, a native Chilean, has devoted his life to music and feels that it is the universal language of possibility, freedom, and creativity. Now he's struck up a conversation with a new audience here in Fort Wayne through Musical Conexión, a bilingual early childhood music and movement education program he developed with his wife, Kelsey Lee. The sessions are aimed at children 1 to 7 years old and have already made their way into local day schools, YMCA pre-Ks, and libraries. WBOI's Julia Meek invited Godoy into the studio to discuss the scope of the project and his deep passion for sharing music in this way.
Cote Godoy, welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Your Musical Conexión is a bilingual music and movement education program for young kids. So basically, what is the purpose of it?
Well, the musicality is the way you feel the music, you enjoy the music, and you connect with yourself and others. So the music is the language of possibilities, freedom, and creative. And with that universal language, you can learn other language and connect with other cultures and with other worlds.
That's a good way to look at it. So what age group do you work with?
Most of the Musical Conexión class are for children 1 to 7 years old, but really is for everybody. It's for mothers and fathers, teachers who want to connect with others with the language of the music.
Okay. Now, you developed this clever program in Chile. How does it translate right here in Indiana?
I take the song they really like, and most of the songs are folk songs. And bringing that here with my language is something really I like because it's universal. The music always is universal.
it sounds like this is your whole idea that you had in Chile. You just bring it up here and then you add learning the Spanish language or putting that right in the mix with English and music and movement and everything else. That makes perfect sense.
And here I learn English with the kids.
That's so they teach you something too.
Yeah.
Okay. How long is a session?
Can be 20 minutes or 40 minutes. The session is with different dynamics. We sing some songs in Spanish and English, and we play some games.
Where does the movement come in then?
Well, the movement is the organic way that children learn. If you do something, they're going to repeat the same.
Yeah, good point.
And they're going to have the real experience about, for example, what does a lion mean? So I say león. That is the way we say lion in Spanish. But I make that sound. And I put all my body like a lion. So they feel fun and they really enjoy to make the movements. And they feel all is possible because they can be a lion. They can be a hero. They can be whatever they want with the imagination and the music.
That's delightful. What a wonderful way to learn. From 1 to 7, now that's a pretty active and spirited age, to say the least. How do you keep their attention and keep them engaged for a half hour?
Oh, just play games. The kids really love the music, and sometimes you can see some kids just look, but with a lot of attention. And that is so special because some kids need more time to make the movements and feel free, but they're going to do that. You just need to wait and sing, feel good, and share that you have inside of you.
And they get it.
Yes.
And what about musical instruments? What do they get to experience themselves during a class?
We're working with different instruments. Peruvian cajon, Peruvian drum, or Peruvian box, guitar, ukulele.
Now, you've been working in day schools and pre-Ks and libraries. How do these venues work for you and what you're trying to do?
I feel really grateful. We're working with the public library, for example. So some mothers come with their child and they love the program. And it's a nice see how the kids connect with the mothers and fathers in a different way. Maybe they always do it with the music and this new language. It can be Spanish or other language, but it's always with music. So it's a nice to see that new communication they can get.
And then, is there a way that the parents can get what this is about and kind of take it home with them or continue it at home?
And that is original idea. So we make a songbook with the songs and we have the lyrics and we have the chords there. So this way the mothers and fathers and the teachers for the different establishments can learn about our program and they can be part of our program. Our program is unfinished. We want to have more and more songs in all the world
great.
To share.
So it's ongoing and never ending.
Oh, yeah. Just like music.
That's a good point, of course. Okay, Cote, in your wide and wonderful world of music, I am kind of curious, as much as you share, and it's a great thing you do share, what do you get from this musical conexión?
When I sing with kids, I have a lot of shiny eyes. I have a lot of big smile. So, of course, it's a lot of love. I get a lot of love and I feel more inspired to make music because I can feel really the music is a language of possibilities, freedom, and creativity.
Cote Godoy, a native Chilean, is a singer-songwriter and music educator, founder of Musical Conexión. Cote, thank you for sharing your time and your amazing spirit with us. Good luck. Buena fortuna with all of your musical connections.
Muchas gracias, Julia.
El león de la selva es el rey. El león de la selva es el rey. Tan grande y tan valiente, tan peludo y barrigón. El león de la selva es el rey. El león de la selva es el rey. El león de la selva es el rey. Tan grande y tan valiente, tan peludo y barrigón. El león de la selva es el rey.
This has been an episode of WBUI Presents. Special thanks to Rosalind in the Way, Kelsey Cote, and Mark Waldick for the music in tonight's program. Mark Waldick also writes our theme music.
Thanks for listening to the WBOI News Roundup. This episode will be available on WBOI.org this week. Weekend Edition is next. Have a wonderful day.